How are we all doing today? Good. It is a joy to be here with you guys this morning. If you want to start turning there, if you have your Bible, we'll be in James chapter 1 this morning. And just verses 1 to 4, a little bit of verse 12. And if you have a title, if you're taking notes, Joy in the Journey. Three words, just joy in the journey. And our main idea of the text today, our main idea of the message, is to have joy in the midst of trials as they lead to perfect maturity in Christ. Have joy in the midst of trials as they lead to perfect maturity in Christ. Before we get into all that, I got to say again, I am so happy to be here with you guys. It has been just over a year. December 6th was the first time that Pastor Keith emailed me about maybe coming here. And so tomorrow will be 7 months since I got here, and it has been a journey. We've had a lot going on, lots of fun stuff, lots of busy stuff, but it has been such a fun and amazing journey to be with you guys. So thank you, church family, for being here with me today. So as we're getting close to the end of the year, well, this is the end of the year, spoiler alert, a lot of us start thinking about next year, right? Some of you guys think, oh, tomorrow it's just a Monday, but it begins a new year. And everybody likes to make a New Year's resolution. Anybody ever made one of those? Anybody ever stuck to all of those? Right? Sometimes we have a hard time sticking to whatever we write down, whether that's, you know, I'm going to go to the gym every single day, three times a day. That's a bit ambitious. You know, or, oh, I'm going to finally put in that swimming pool my wife wants. Or, I'm going to read my Bible every single day, chapter from the Old Testament, the New Testament, a Psalm, a Proverbs, and I'm going to pray three times at least. We often have a hard time sticking with our resolutions, don't we? But it's such a good thing that we want to seek to grow. And so as we're thinking about if you do happen to be one of those people like me who likes to write down their goals and their plans for the next year, seeking to grow, seeking to have that resolution, I want to encourage you guys to think about how you want to be maturing in the next year. And I remind you of our main idea is to have joy in the midst of trials as they lead to perfect maturity in Christ. And I'm going to define three terms for us really quick before we get going. Number one is joy, because I am such a Greek scholar and Bible student. Christianity.com says, joy is choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction. Joy. Choosing to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction. Why? Because we know that God will use these experiences to accomplish His work in our lives and through our lives. That's joy. Our second word to define, endurance. In our passage today, there you might see endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. We'll talk about that. But endurance refers to the ability to stand up and hold strong amidst what's going on around you. So it could be perseverance, steadfastness. If you're reading the King James, it could be fortitude or endurance. And our last word, perfection or maturity. A lot of times we think perfect means, oh, never messed up, and that is the correct definition in some sense. But in this sense today, when we say perfection or maturity, think of it like a circle. It's complete. It goes all the way around. It's whole. Or like a young oak sapling. It's tiny. But by the time it grows up and it's fully matured, it's complete. It's strong. It holds fast. So, joy, endurance, and perfection or maturity. Those are going to be three of our key words today. Be looking out for them. If we could go ahead and read, let's do that. James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4 is our focus text. It's got a really rich theology concerning a life in Christ. Let's start in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, or endurance, perseverance. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So we see James, who, by the way, is the brother of Christ. But he doesn't introduce himself as that, right? If you look at our text, James introduces himself as a servant or a slave of God. Which, that's a whole other sermon. The humility and the recognition of Jesus Christ is my Lord and Master. That's an amazing thing in and of itself, but we don't have time for that. But James is the half-brother who grew up with Jesus and says, this guy is it. Glory to him. So he writes to the who? The scattered Jews, the people of God. They're dispersed. They're spread out. They don't have a home. He says, hi. That's how I read it. As he goes on, he says to have joy that leads to steadfastness, that leads to maturity. And I want you guys to think, what is maturity? What do you think about when you hear the word mature? Do you think of, now, if you're younger, is it a kid in your class that just always seems to know what's right? I was definitely not that kid. But that annoying kid, he's always right. He knows what to do. He always does it right. Or maybe it's an old man with a white beard and bifocals. Les, are you here? Sorry. Wisdom, maturity, right? Or maybe it's a parent. Whether you're 23 or 92, is a parent who you think of as mature. Perhaps it's a pastor. I don't know. But when you hear maturity, what do you think of? What goes to your head? And how does one get there? So, backstory again, as we talked about, James is the brother of Christ. And you can read that in John's Gospel. He didn't believe in Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior until later on in life. He's writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. And he says he's a slave. And as he begins his message, he begins with a very countercultural and counterintuitive command. Have joy when? When you go through trials. So that's our first point if you're taking notes. Point one, maturing and having joy means going through trials. Now, my first probably immature thought is when I think of a trial, you know, I'm thinking, okay, what does trial mean? I think, okay, that's pain. What is pain? And I think, stepping on a Lego. Stepping. You know, you step on a Lego, you don't say, praise God. You see, ah! If it's 2 a.m. or 2 in the afternoon, it doesn't matter. That Lego hurts. If you've never stepped on a Lego, count your blessings, all right? When you stub your pinky toe on the door frame, or when you're already mad and your belt loop gets caught around the door handle. In that moment, what is your reaction? Oh, I'm going to punch this door. I'm so mad. Your reaction, at least in my experience, is not one of joy. It's one of anger, or just, yeah, anger. But that's not what James is calling us to say, right? What's it say? Have joy when you face trials of many kinds. And that's his call, to go against our fleshly selves and to live counterintuitively. And we'll talk a little bit more about what a trial might be, because stepping on a Lego might not seem like a big deal. For me, it might be, but it's not. D.A. Carson, in his commentary, says a trial are difficulties of life ranging from persecution to physical illness, financial hardships, and they are all a normal part of the Christian life. And secondary point, James says to count joy whenever we face trials. Not if we face trials, but whenever we face trials. Does that make sense? And in case you think he's off base here, no, it's just right here. It's man, we won't face trials. That's weird. God wants us to have a good and happy and easy life. No. You can turn to passages like Matthew 24:9. You can write these down if you want. John 15:8. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." They will be persecuted. These passages are talking about persecution. But the point of that the Bible is clearly demonstrating is that Christian living leads to trials. And some of you guys have faced trials. I know that. I have seen that. Losing a job for some, that's hard. Maybe that's being just awfully sick this time of year or throughout the year. Maybe that's cancer. Maybe that's an ongoing autoimmune disease. Maybe you're just sick and it's awful. Losing a loved one. I don't know how many funerals there have been since I got here, but it's probably double digits. And it hurts my heart when I see you guys suffering like that, because that is a trial. But remember, God is working in it and through it. And we are called to have joy. Or maybe it's an ongoing trial. Maybe a marriage. Now, that's not to say that your marriage is a bad thing, but I think we can attest, yeah, there are trials. When you're trying to live your own individual life with a whole other person and you're trying to bring them together, that can be hard sometimes, can't it? And then you add kids in the mix who leave the Legos out. Right? There are things in our lives that are hard and difficult, and they present themselves as trials. Some of us that are still single, that can be a trial. Some of us that have just moved somewhere, or we're in transition from high school to college, or maybe you're just at a point in your life where you're not really sure what's going on, but God has you here, that can be a trial. The point of it all is that God gives those to you, and in them you are to count it as joy. What was our point again? Point one, maturing and having joy means going through trials. So my next thought would be, why? Why would God have me do that? Point two, if you're taking notes, because trials lead to enduring joy. Trials lead to enduring joy. Look at verse 3. "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness," or endurance, perseverance, fortitude. It's all the same idea. So we learn from James that these difficult times, these trials that we experience, there's a point to them, right? They produce endurance, steadfastness. Those difficult times are good for us. The testing of our faith, it's the implication. It's, I think, pretty straightforward. Trials equal testing of your faith. One place I like to turn to when I'm down in a bog in the middle of a situation where I don't know what's going on, or I've been there for a little bit, John 16:33, this is my favorite verse. Jesus Christ is at the upper room discourse right before he's about to start the cross. He turns to his disciples and says, "I have said these things to you," all of his earthly ministry, "I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. For in this world you will face tribulation, you will face trials. But fear not, because I have overcome the world." It's my God too. He already overcame all the trials that we could possibly fathom. We have a great high priest who has suffered just like we have. And he had endurance and steadfastness, perseverance, and joy through it all. If you read throughout James, and I would encourage you to do so, but not right now, unless you're bored, I guess. You'll see more about what faith life is meant to be like, but right now the point is it's apparent that faith needs to be tested. And then James is moving on to showing how the testing produces steadfastness, or like we said earlier, perseverance or endurance. Now, are we ever just there when it comes to a test? Are we just always at the top of our game as soon as something comes up in our lives? Absolutely not. Think about when you were a kid. You had a math test on Friday. What'd you have to do? You had to study. Right? And you study, 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 so that way when the test came on Friday, we're good to go. Some other illustration. Anybody seen Rocky? Yeah. It's a Christmas movie, right? Close enough? Right. Or a marathon runner. There's these cutouts, these scenes where Rocky's in his training regime and he's got the background track going, Eye of the Tiger, and he's out running in the snow, getting ready to fight the Russian dude, and he's doing these insane workouts, and also that way, when comes the fight, Adrian, I win, right? Or that marathon runner. If you've never run a marathon before, if you want to just get up and go do that, is it going to go well? No. Now, some of you guys in here right now, Scott, where you at, are really great runners. And you could get up and probably just go for it. But a lot of us, if we wanted to do a marathon in March or April, May, somewhere in the summer, got to start running now. And when you start running now, you get going and going and going, depending on where you're at, mile one, two, three, five, whatever. It's going to start burning. You're going to get a stitch in your side. The cold air is going to hurt your nose and your mouth. Your lungs are going to feel awful. But you keep pushing and pushing on. Why? To build up endurance. To keep going so that when marathon day comes, you're there. You're ready. You can complete that lap, that race. And so, the point of the illustration, say that because of the suffering, the trials, one is able to build up their endurance. That same thing applies to our lives. When we face these trials in our lives, James tells us that we are building up our endurance, our spiritual endurance, so that we can continue on in our spiritual walk well. So we are there through Christ, through the Spirit working in us, progressively working in us. We've become more complete, more mature, more like Christ. Trials are the means by which something beneficial happens in the lives of Christians. Right? And it's not that these trials just happen to us and we grow, but rather we grow in a way that we would not have if the trial had never occurred. Think back to that math test. If you didn't have that test on Friday morning, were you going to study the whole week? No! Who wants to sit and look at numbers? Sorry, engineers. That's no fun. Just going to sit there all week. I cried when I was a kid doing math because the calculator gave me the wrong answers. Didn't enjoy it at all. But because that math test came up, I studied. The same way, God is putting trials in our lives for us, to work in us, to work through us for His glory, for His kingdom, so that we could be more like the Son. So trials, they help us grow in a way that we never would have if they hadn't happened. So, another thing, church family, to see here is why steadfastness is so important. We're going to skip down a few verses. I'll summarize verses 5 to 11. You can read it if you want, but 5, I just kind of like, okay, this is talking about relying on God for wisdom. Is that good stuff? Good. So we rely on God for wisdom. That's verses 5 to 8. Ask him for it. And verses 9 through 11, recognize that we need to be humble. We have to go to God for things that we have nothing to boast in, and we will pass away. But God endures forever. All that is a trial. Endurance. Okay, I'm going through a trial. I need to ask God for wisdom because I am finite. I am but flesh. I will pass away. God's word does not. And why is all this important? Look at verse 12 with me. Because blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has withstood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. This is the final step in James's progression. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast because he will inherit the crown of life. What a great sentence. Point three, endurance leads to mature joy in Christ amidst the trials. If you're writing it down. Endurance leads to mature joy in Christ amidst the trials. Joy in the journey. Look at verse 4. Just so we're clear. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. So James says we're to have joy in trials. Why? Because firstly, trials lead to endurance. Secondly, endurance, or steadfastness, leads to maturity, which is great news. Going back to that exercise illustration, you get there because you suffer through the trial. Okay? Why? All for one specific goal, so that we may be mature and complete, perfect, not lacking in anything. All that leads to what? Verse 12, the crown of life. It's promised to who? To us, to those who remain steadfast, who are Christians, who remain steadfast under the trials. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this crown of life, it's given to us, but it's not free. This crown of life that gets to be put on our head doesn't get to be there until the crown of thorns that's on our head, the crown of death that's on our head, is taken off. And how did that happen? Jesus Christ. The crown of thorns that Christ wore on his head for our sake, undergoing a trial I couldn't do. Walking perfectly with the Father for his entire life. Facing temptation, facing trials, having to endure the devil himself tempting him. He did that for me and you. This crown is promised to those who love God, but we know that we are only able to live because he first loved us while we were still sinners. He died for us, undergoing that trial to give us the crown of life. And so we are called to embrace these trials because they lead us into maturing, into an ongoing, experiential, perfecting joy in the love of Christ. So an exhortation I have for you, and please hear me well. Church family, you, Christian, be someone that lives steadfast, that endures this life in Christ. What does that mean? Well, we've talked a lot about it already, but it means enduring. What does it look like to endure Christ amidst a trial? Well, you seek him. Having the joy of Christ, choosing to be filled and satisfied in him. That definition of joy, choosing to be filled and satisfied, letting the Spirit work in you. What are the fruit of the Spirit, church family? Say it with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the Spirit working in all who believe. God is with you. Period. So we grow in spiritual maturity and godliness through the unique trials, the tests that we are given. A caveat. We should not go looking for trials. The theological word for that is stupid. I mean, and we should not cause them for other people. That's a meanie, okay? God gives us trials. We should not seek to cause them for others, nor should we go looking for them. Oh, man, I really need to grow in this, so I'm going to go ahead and hit my brother. Love you, Caleb. I need to grow, so I'm going to go look for a trial. No. Let God decide. Oh, this other person needs to grow in this, so I'm going to be mean to them. No. Let God decide. Okay? However, something to look at. You will never be a mature Christian if you do not undergo trials. Never. It's a bit of a crazy statement, but that's what James tells us. Read the passage again. My brothers and sisters, we count it joy when we face these trials because they lead to steadfastness, which leads to perfection in Christ. So to be more like Christ, that is the goal. To receive the crown of life, to live with it on our heads, so that one day we can cast it at His feet. In order to get there, we have to recognize that God has put these trials in our lives for a reason. And you might not know what it is in the moment. How many of us can say, yep, I don't know what God was doing at that time until 5, 10, 20 years later? Maybe you're in that moment right now. Man, my life is just, it's rough. I still love and trust God, but I don't know what's going on. And you know what? You may never know what God was doing. And that's okay. Because God has a plan and you can trust Him. He loves His children. He loves His citizens. And we are here for His kingdom and for His glory. So God will put these trials in our lives to help us to grow to be more like the Son, more like Christ, more like Him. However, man, the world, Satan alike, they will seek to use these trials as a means to discourage, to pull us away, to weaken us from God. Even though He wants us to grow more mature, stronger, more complete. What would the world say? Oh, your marriage is awful? Get a divorce. No big deal. Oh, okay, you're discontent with your life and singleness. Seek satisfaction somewhere else. Go online on the internet. Go binge whatever TV show you want for 24 hours in a week. Go party. Whatever. Oh, you need money. Okay. Work 80 hours. Don't care about anybody else. Oh, you need money. Go ahead and just take a little something from Walmart. It's in the clearance section. It won't matter. The world will tell you, don't give anything away. Don't be generous. Take what you can. Give nothing back. That's a line from Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates! Right? But what does God call us to do? Have joy in the trials. Because they lead to endurance, steadfastness in Him. That leads to perfect maturity. That little oak sapling grows up to be big and mature. That is our Christian life. That is our walk with God. One last final point, just to reiterate the difference between happiness and joy. We've talked about it some. It's not an etymological idea, but the emotion of happiness. Don't mistake it for pure joy. I got to hear a little thing about subjective happiness and objective unhappiness, something like that. Think about a Snickers bar. It tastes pretty good, don't it? Some ice cream, whatever you want. But objectively, that's not good for you. Subjectively, it'll make you happy. Objectively, it's bad for you. Sorry, I know. Running, for most of us. Subjectively, I hate running. Objectively, that is good for my soul and good for my body. Objectively, the joy of Christ and the trials that he allows me to go through are a good, wonderful thing. But man, does it hurt sometimes. Don't be deceived, church family. Don't forget the crown of thorns that Christ put on his head to give us the crown of life. The love that he has for us, that he died on the cross for us while we still spat at him, while we still ripped out his beard, while we still blindfolded and punched him in the face. But he loves us. And you're growing in him. And better yet, because we're all in him together, look around you. Seriously. These are your brothers and your sisters that are here in those trials with you. I love the Lord. He is good to me. I am blind in so many ways. And God works in me by saying, hey, your friend right there, your really good friend, they're going to point out something for you. And you need to listen. Or, Joshua, you need to go ask somebody for help. Because I'm going to work in both of you through this trial. We live in community so that we can glorify God together. So, when you're in a trial, don't do it alone. That wasn't what God intended. We're a family in Christ. Let's live it out. Because one day we'll all get to take that crown of life, and we get to cast it at his feet in glory. Remember these things, that God has a plan. He is in control, and we can trust him. Having joy in the journey amidst the trials, because he is a good and gracious and loving God. Remain steadfast, my brothers and sisters, for we have received that crown of life, and we will get to meet with him in paradise. Can we pray? Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you for your work, for your love, for your joy. You have done so much for us, and we pray, Lord, that as you are working in our lives through these different trials, through these different time periods, that we bring in a new year. Help us to think about you and how we are meant to mature in you this coming year, Lord. Help us to remain steadfast, to stick to you, to grow in you with one another, and to glorify you in all that we think, say, and do, Father, because you are the best thing ever. Father, give us joy today and joy for all eternity like you already have. Amen.